pen and paper and take notes, man, I'd like for you to write down, and this is my topic for today, amen, the trial of your faith. The trial of your faith. And I would like for you to capitalize T-R-I-A-L. Because we're going to deal with the T, we're going to deal with the R, the I, the A, and the L this morning. Amen? The trial of your faith. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. When you find it, say amen. If you're still looking, say wait a minute. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read this morning from the Living Bible, amen. I do have the King James Version, amen. I have the Modern Language, the Living Bible, the Revised Standard Bible. But this morning I want to share this 1 Peter chapter 1 from the Living Bible, amen. And it reads as follows, and this is a letter from Peter, Jesus Christ's missionary, amen. We know that Peter was the greatest preacher. Amen. I believe that ever lived. Amen. Amen. Verse 1 says, to Jewish Christians driven out of Jerusalem and scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, dear friends, God the Father chose you long ago and knew you would become his children. And the Holy Spirit has been at work in your hearts, cleansing you with the blood of Jesus Christ and making you to please him. May God bless you richly and grant you increasing freedom from all anxiety and fear. All honor to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is his boundless mercy that has given us the privilege of being born again, so that we are now members of God's own family. Now we live in the hope of eternal life because Christ rose again from the dead. Listen to this in verse 4. And God has reserved for his children the priceless gift of eternal life. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled beyond the reach of change and decay. Lord have mercy. And God, in his mighty power, will make sure that you get there safely and receive it because you are trusting him. It will be yours in the coming day, in the coming last day, for all to see. So it will be true. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though the going is rough for a while down here. Verse 7 is where I want to park today. Amen. Verse 7 says, these trials are only to test your faith, to see whether or not it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire tests gold and purifies it. And your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried in the test tube of fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day of his return. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Amen. I want to talk about today the trial of your faith. Amen. New Living Translation says, 1 Peter verse 1 and 7 says, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, I don't know about you. I don't know about your life. I don't know about your situation. But every once in a while, amen. You know what? I'm not going to say every once in a while, but every day of my life, my faith is tried. Amen. We know that in this walk, it's not about what we see. In this walk, it's not about what we feel. Amen. But it has to be about the faith that we have in Jesus Christ and what he did on that old rugged cross. Amen. Many of us, amen, have put faith in friends. And those friends have turned their backs on us. Many of us have put our faith in our money. Amen. And I know it's getting real close to, you know, income tax time. And some of us are running kind of low right now. Amen. Amen. But our faith is tried daily. I guess I'm the only one in the house. Everybody's quiet today. But my faith is tested daily. Amen. Even in my own household, it's tested. On my job, it's tested. Amen. The trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perish. Though it be tried by fire, it might be found unto praise and honor. My brothers and sisters, I like the way, amen, Peter wrote this. And he wrote this to, amen, Jewish Christians, those that have been driven out of their comfort zone. Amen. How many of you, amen, in some shape, form, or fashion in your life today, you are outside of your comfort zone? Amen. Your faith is being tried. Amen. Some of you may be facing something that you never faced before. So some of us have been healthy all of our lives. And the last doctor's visit, amen, that we went on, they said you need to watch what you eat. Amen. I look at myself all the time and I look around at the guys my age and I say, well, I still look pretty good. But I went to the doctor the other day and he said, you got to start exercising. You need to do some things. So I've never had to deal with my health. So I'm like, well, Lord, you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. And now the doctor's telling me this. My little faith is tried. I'm going down to this church and I'm preaching and I'm teaching. But you mean to tell me that I have some issues? My faith is being tried. Are y'all going to pray with me? Amen. You know, as a preacher, as a pastor, you love everybody that walks through these doors and you meet a young man and you start to develop a relationship. Amen. And before you can really cultivate that relationship and get to know, amen, this young man, then something tragic happens and all of a sudden he's gone. Amen. You reflect on conversations and then you ask yourself, could I have done more? What did I say something wrong? Or I should have known. I should have saw some signs. Our faith is tested daily. Amen. I'm just being honest with you this morning. Amen. As I look around and see people going through things and people that I know. Amen. I'm like, well, Lord, what's really going on? But he reminded me. He said, preacher, pastor, your faith is going to be tried. Your faith is going to be tested. Are y'all going to pray with me this morning? Amen. He reminded me that we do not live a crossless Christianity. Amen. That everyone has a cross that they must bear. Amen. Your cross may not be what my cross is, but you still got to carry your burdens. Are y'all going to pray with me this morning? Amen. The trial of your faith, my brothers and sisters. Amen. I looked at the trial and I saw there was a T. Amen. In trial. Amen. And if you have a pen and paper and you want to take notes, I want you to write down temptation. Amen. In this faith walk, my brothers and sisters, there's going to be temptation. Amen. Has anybody been tempted lately? Oh, I'm the only one in the house that's been tempted lately. Amen. Temptation is an act of tempting. And the Christian version of temptation is the act of Satan tempting us to do something that is evil. Have you been tempted to do anything bad lately? Were you tempted to do something bad last night? Are y'all going to pray with me? Well, were you tempted, amen, on the job to just really give your boss a piece of your mind? Young folks, were you tempted to miss curfew last night even though mom and daddy told you to be home at midnight? Young ladies, were you tempted, amen, when she told you that skirt was too short? Amen, were you tempted to put it in your backpack and go to the skating rink anyway and go in the bathroom and change? And if your baby girl is carrying a big purse, you better watch out. Tempting to do something evil. But listen to this, my brothers and sisters. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 tells us the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly, amen, out of temptations. Every Christian experiences temptation, and Satan tries to catch Christians. That's what he does. He's a great accuser, and we talked about that last week. You know how he's nothing but a snitch. And if you grew up where I grew up, the motto was, and even when I worked in jail, that snitches get stitches. So I want to serve notice on Satan today that snitches get stitches. You can tell on me all you want to. Amen. But as long as I'm covered, thank God for your covering today. Amen. Thank God for your covering, my brothers and sisters. But we must not yield to temptation. We can overcome, amen, temptation through decisions. We got to make better decisions, church. You know why the church is looking crazy? It's because the church is not making better decisions. I'm talking about me and you, us, all of us. I say this all the time. You try to take that toaster back to Walmart that you had 2 years. I ain't got my receipt, but I just got it last week. With your Orange Chapel shirt on, and you up there acting a fool with the lady at the customer service desk, and you know you're wrong. I was at the fair a couple of years ago. Church lady was behind me, and y'all know how they get a bracelet. You get a bracelet between, what is it, 10 and like 10 and 4. And then they switched that bracelet up at 4 o'clock. Well, they were switching the bracelets up. But they let the sister buy a bracelet and only had like an hour on it. And man, church lady, man, it's cussing them folks out so bad, I was ashamed. But we have to make better decisions, my brothers and sisters. That's what I'm getting at. We can overcome temptation through our decisions, through our discipline, through our determination, and through divine help. Some of us this morning, amen, when our faith is tried, amen, we're going to jump out there anyway. Amen? But why don't we use what God has given us? Amen. I believe that this Bible, amen, is life's instruction manual. And it teaches us, amen, how to live and how to do, amen, as God would want us to do. Amen. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." There's a remedy for temptation. If you want to be blessed from God, my brothers and sisters, amen, we have to endure temptation. But so many of us are falling victim to it. I knew this wouldn't be popular this morning. Y'all thought, because praise and worship, we're going to be, I'll holler if y'all want me to. Is that what it's going to take this morning? I can turn the mic up and scream and yell, and y'all won't know what word I said, and we leave. We can do it if you want to. But temptation, my brothers and sisters, that's part of the trial. Let's look at the R in trial. This is, the R represents resentment. Resentment. Our faith can be tested through resentment. Look at this. A feeling of displeasure or persistent ill with something regarded as wrong, an insult or injury. Let's look what the word says. He says, "He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Resentments dwindle the physical and the mental and destroy the physical life of an individual. What is resentment? Our faith is tried, my brothers and sisters, when, amen, our neighbor gets a new car. Anybody got haters in the house? You wear that new suit. Look, he think he looking good. Look at her. She thinks she's sharp. Look at Orange Chapel, all them people that is money. They think they doing something. Some of y'all just accidentally came. You didn't plan. Lord just led you here this morning. But resentment, we have so many people that want to, they just hate on each other. How can you say you love God whom you never seen and hate your brother who you see daily? My brothers and sisters, we it's time to This resentment thing that we have, it's time for it to go. Amen. We can't move forward until we get this faith thing right. Amen. We can't move forward as long as, oh, my choir is better than your choir. Y'all know churches deal with stuff like that? Churches like Crips and Bloods. Y'all notice you go somewhere, every church got their own color t-shirt? It's like gangs. And until we get it right in the house, my brothers and sisters, you know what? The streets are going to be off the chain. The streets are going to continue to be the way they are if the Christians don't get it right. And the reason why Peter was telling, amen, this group of people this is because these folks were displaced. How many of y'all know that you are pilgrims traveling through this land? Amen. This is not your home. Amen. We are just merely passing through. In my Father's house, a many mansions. See, y'all know the song we sing, I'm going up a yonder to be with the Lord. We're just passing through. But some of us act like this is it. And some of us act like if Brother Ron is blessed and God ain't doing the same thing in my life, and why would I have a problem with what the Lord is doing in somebody else's life? Amen. If I'm truly a man of God. Amen. If we are truly brothers in Christ, but whatever he got, we got. If that's my brother. Amen. I know sometimes we run a little low on groceries, and I call my brother's house. Hey, Darryl, what y'all eating tonight? Oh, man, we got a little something over here. But, hey, y'all got enough? We going to come through? Yeah, man, y'all come on through. It's time to get rid of inferiority, my brothers and sisters. It's time to stop hating on each other. Start loving one another. Amen. But let me tell you something, because, you know, the church should not operate. And this is what Peter's telling these folks. He said, listen, guys, I know you're displaced. I know you're going through some things. I know you've been scattered. Some of y'all feel like that, displaced, scattered. Amen. Sometimes you go to, you know, you've been in the same church for a long time and God is moving you. You're like, ooh, Lord, I'm out here by myself. But he's saying, listen, the same things that go on in the streets, amen, are the same thing that kind of creep into the church. But listen, there's a word. There's a word that helps each and every one of us with any situation that we go through. If we'll just allow God to do what he's supposed to do, amen. We can be released from resentments through love and prayer. Y'all remember when Job was sick? When his friends came to see about him and Job was so messed up, they just sat there and looked at him for 7 days. Y'all remember that? They just sat there and looked. They didn't say a word. And then the Bible says that Job prayed for his friends. Now Job was sitting there with worms under his skin. Lost all of his children, lost his wife, lost everything that he had. His friends sitting there looking at him like he's crazy. The trial of your faith. Now wouldn't you think that his faith would have been on trial? But what, you know what? Job said, naked I came into this world and naked I'm going to leave. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. How many of us, when we're going through a thing in life, that we just say, yet though he slay me, I'm still going to trust you. My daddy whooped me a lot when I was growing up, but I still trusted that he was going to put food on the table. I trusted that we were going to have a house to come to every day after school. My brothers and sisters, we cannot love and pray for another person and hold resentments at the same time. We can't expect God's love to flow throughout our spirits and throughout our conversations, amen, that we have resentments toward one another. Amen. The Lord tested my faith when he brought Todd's leader to Orange Chapel. I love Todd. I grew up with Todd. Amen. But Todd drove up in my dream car. I wanted a 7. I've been talking about a 750 since I got here. Matter of fact, when I got here, I was talking about a 745. Then I saw the 750. And I said, oh, that's what I want. Todd drives down here in a black 750. But instead of hating on him, amen, I said, hey, man, let me just sit in it, man. Come on, preacher, come on, sit in it. And y'all, you know what? Then I got in there and slammed the door. He said, no, preacher, you ain't got to slam the door. The 750 closed by itself. He said, 750 closed by itself. But I didn't hate on Todd. And you know what? Let me tell y'all how Satan works. This is how Satan works. God sent him down here, but Satan said, you know what, I'm going to send him down there at 750, and that preacher going to get jealous. Now, I ain't jealous, and guess what? I still want a 750. But watch this. I may never get one, but my brother got one. What the devil meant for bad, God meant it for good. I may not have to drive one. I can just drive his. Say amen, somebody. Todd, you better smile over there, brother. That's what I'm saying. Y'all, and it's little things like that mess us up. That messes the church up. You see somebody get blessed and then you mad. Folks get married in the church. They ain't going to stay together. No, you pray for them. Even if you know they're going through something. Y'all right, I bet. How much you bet they ain't going to be together next month? How much you bet? No, let's pray for them. Let's get together. Let's circle up and pray for them that God will sustain that relationship, that will keep that family together. But we cast it like, I bet you $20. No, dog, they ain't going to make it. They ain't going to make it. You see what they put on Facebook? You see what she put on Facebook? No, we got to help one another. We got to pray for one another. Hey, amen. Stop being resentful for one over one another. Hallelujah, church. Amen. We got North Lamar and Paris High kids in here, and we go to church together. Love each other. Amen. Keytron led the whole Lamar County in rushing yards this year. We got some boys that go to Paris High. Like, good job, dog, but we beat y'all. But it was all in love. No, we couldn't catch you. We couldn't catch you. But you know, it's all good. You were blessed with being the best running back in the area. But we were the district champions. We can share glory. We can share it, my brothers and sisters. Quit hating on each other. Trial of my faith. Man, resentment. And then, amen, my brothers and sisters. This is another one. Is inferiority. So I'm dealing with the T, temptation, resentment, and then inferiority. And this is situated lower down, lower degree or rank, or of little or less importance. So many people in the church, the reason why our faith gets shook, our faith gets shaken, because Satan wants to tell us that we're no good and that we're not important. Does that make sense? He uses, amen, he plays mind games. But my brothers and sisters, there is a recipe, there is a prescription, amen, when Satan is trying to tell you that you're lower and that you're less. But let me tell you something. The last person that joined on chapel is just as saved as the first person. You just as saved as all the prophets of old. You just as saved as they are. You just as saved as the preacher. But what the devil wants to plant in our spirits is, this person's more. Just because I can sing, I can hold a note. I can't sing. I can just hold a note. I can't do all that stuff like that. I just get on one note and I stay on it. But a brother that can do that and all that, I don't hate on him. But what Satan wants to do in the church is he wants to rank everybody. He wants to rank us. You know, they can sit up here on the front row. That don't mean nothing. That's just unity. They just say, you know what, fella, we're going to sit on the front row. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that, but you know what? They ain't no more saved than you are. I got the mic. God just called me to preach and said, I want you to hold the mic and I want you to tell them what I say. But so many people in the church get the big head. Can I share something with y'all? Same thing I said in Sunday school this morning. I almost wore jeans this morning. Lord said, you know, dress down. And I didn't listen to him. He said, wear some jeans, man, because, you know, some people won't come to church because they don't have the right clothes, because the church has made people feel like they're less if they have on different clothes. Now, at Orange Chapel, y'all can look around. We wear everything. But the Lord told me to wear some jeans, and I wasn't obedient, but he said, okay, you ain't going to wear no jeans. And guess what, y'all? I got on a dirty suit. Just as dirty. Lord, this should have went to the cleaners 2 weeks ago. I don't think I done preached it 2 or 3 times. It's time for it to go. So don't get too close to me. I got on dirty suit. So don't let the fat form too. I mean, name brand. Good stuff, but it's dirty. Kick it. Ron, you don't mind, do you? Look at Ron and his sharp self. Come here, Ron. Let me shout. Like pastor, like deacon. Boy, look at that spot on that suit. We clean, but we dirty. Free said it, Brother Ron. He said, man, that y'all done been there before. Man, that water came out that iron, man, and just, I thought it was coffee. I said, man, you got a big old coffee stain on that. But look what God will do. He said, you know what? I want y'all gonna be humble this morning. You in a funky suit this morning, and Ron in a dirty suit. Y'all with me? So that make me no better. Some of y'all clean in some jeans. They clean. Some of y'all in some jeans that don't have spots on them. Some of y'all in tennis shoes. God ain't about this rank stuff. Woo! And you wonder why folk won't come, why the churches are empty. I tell you what, this is the hospital. A whole lot of sick folk in here. All of us. This is like an AA meeting. Good morning, my name is Pastor McGuire, and I'm a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. Been saved for 30 long years. That's how church ought to start. Good morning, my name is Tony Boss, and I'm a sinner. Good morning, my name is Sean Brick, and Lord, I'm a sinner. But I'm saved by grace. Good morning. I'm Deacon Smith. And I'm a sinner. Y'all know he gonna cry when he say it. Good morning. My name Roberta. Y'all know I'm a sinner. That's how church ought to start, guys. That's how it ought to start. And all this rank stuff. Oh, Lord have mercy. Well, y'all gonna make me preach in a minute. We overcome, my brothers and sisters, by doing and by moving ahead and by believing that the Holy Spirit is within us and that he is guiding, directing, and speaking through us. That rank stuff don't matter. Listen to what the Lord say. Do what the Lord say do. There's a song by the Five Blind Boys that said, I'm going to do what the Lord say do. I'm on whatever the Lord say do, that's what I'm going to do, my brother. Woo. Inferiority. And then, my brothers and sisters, the trial of our faith is not only, amen, tried through temptation, and not only tried through resentment, and not only tried through inferiority, but also tried through affliction. That's your A. Affliction. How many people in here been through something? Affliction. Look at what affliction is. Affliction is the cause of persistent pain or distress. Great suffering. Lord, have mercy. And how can David say, it was good for me that I was afflicted? It was good for me. You mean to tell me it was good for me, amen, that I lost a loved one? You mean it was good for me, amen, that my bank account is ugly? You mean it's good for me that I was sick? It was good for me. David said it was good for me that I was afflicted. I talked to my buddy, amen, a preacher friend of mine that went to prison while he was a preacher. Came out and God blessed him with another church. He said, Pastor, it was good for me that I was afflicted. Psalms 119 and 67, he said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Christians suffer affliction like everyone else, and some blame God when they suffer. But my brothers and sisters, the Bible says in Romans 8 and 28, says that for we all know that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and the called according to his purpose. So whatever you're going through, Amen. Whatever trial and tribulation you're dealing with, amen, if you are truly a child of God and you love God, then it's for your good. Are y'all going to pray with me? Amen. I meant to be done already. And then we must trust God during affliction. Amen. He has a purpose in what he allows us and can work it out for the good. Amen. And for his glory. Amen. My brothers and sisters, we wouldn't have a story. Amen. This morning, if we hadn't been through something, we wouldn't know about the goodness of the Lord. Amen. If we hadn't had to deal, amen, with the meanness of some people. Amen. We wouldn't know how awesome he is if we hadn't had to go through the valley and through the storm and through the rain. Are y'all going to pray with me? Amen. And the last thing is, come on, Tony, loneliness. Amen. So the trial of our faith. Amen. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. We've gone through temptation. We've gone through resentment. We've gone through inferiority. We've gone through affliction. And the last thing, my brothers and sisters, is, amen, some of us have gone through loneliness. Amen. We feel like we're all by ourselves. Are y'all going to pray with me? Amen. The Bible, amen, my brothers and sisters, Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Aren't you glad that he'll never leave you? Aren't you glad that he'll never, ever forsake you? Are y'all going to pray with me this morning? Amen. Y'all might as well come on and help me have some church this morning. Amen. Because I know that I'm not the only one that my faith has been tried. Amen. I know I'm not the only one that is going through trials, amen, and tests in life. Amen. Many people, my brothers and sisters, when you talk about this loneliness thing, many people are lonely. Amen. Sin and sorrow and suffering and separation bring loneliness. Amen. Christians need to never be lonely. They have a friend who is closer than any brother. How many of y'all know that you have a friend that's closer than any brother? Amen. I want you to know today that there's no reason for you to go through this all alone. Are y'all going to pray with me? I told y'all last week, amen, that I travel no less than 4 deep. Are y'all going to pray with me? Everywhere I go, I'm going to always take myself. Amen. And beside me, I'm always going to take the Holy Spirit. And beside the Holy Spirit is always going to be Jesus Christ. And beside Jesus Christ is always going to be the Almighty God. So no matter where you see me, I'm 4 deep. Are y'all going to pray with me this morning? Amen. The Holy Spirit has promised to abide with us forever. Amen. And if you don't believe that, John 14:16 tells us, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. My brothers, when Peter is talking about, amen, the faith being tried by fire. Amen. Some of your faith is being tried through your health. Some of your faith is being tried through your relationships. Amen. Some of your faith is being tried through your finances. But I'm here to tell you today to just hold on to God's unchanging hand, because he loves you. Amen. More than you love yourself. Amen. And it seems like that during the trial of our faith, my brothers and sisters, that Satan tries to convince you and I, because we mess up, that we're not saved. But I want to share something with you this morning, is that, hallelujah, I feel God moving this morning. Amen. Satan wants to tell you, because you mess up, amen, that God don't love you no more. Amen. Satan wants to tell you, amen, if you don't have a bank full of money, that God don't love you. But I'm telling you this morning, my brothers and sisters, you are just being tried. Are y'all going to pray with me? Amen. You're just going through that purification process. Amen. For that gold to be 100% pure. Ain't God all right? Hallelujah. I remember when I was a young boy, we used to think it was cool to wear rings on our fingers. Are y'all going to pray with me? One time I went down to Keith's Bazaar. How many of y'all remember Keith's Bazaar? And I bought me a fancy ring way deep in the hood in Dallas. I walked up to the counter and I said, I like that ring right there. He told me how much it was, and I reached in my pocket and I paid for my little old ring. Are y'all gonna pray with me? Didn't know nothing about the man I bought it from, but he told me it was pure gold. I got to school the next day and I was showing off my ring. One of my homeboys started laughing. He said, say, man, your finger's turning green. Are y'all gonna pray with me? Ain't God all right? My brothers and sisters, I was hurt to my heart because I spent my last $40 on this gold ring. Ain't God all right? I went back, hallelujah, a few days later. How many of y'all remember House Jewelry downtown Paris? And old David was in there and he called everybody partner. And my granddaddy had a relationship with David. And my daddy had a relationship with David. Are y'all going to pray with me? I told David about the situation with my ring that turned green. Are y'all going to pray with me? He said, come on, son. He said, I can help you out, I believe. He said, come here, partner. So he pulled the ring out of the case. He said, let me show you something. You can always tell if it's real gold. Oh, I wish I had my cigarette lighter. He pulled out a cigarette lighter and he held that gold ring up. He had his little thing, he held up, not his hand. And he began to roll the fire over the gold. And the gold didn't turn. Are y'all going to pray with me? Then he said, let me have that thing you got in your hand. He put the fire on the fake gold. And it turned all black. Are y'all going to pray with me? I want to help somebody out this morning. David said, come over here, partner. He said, listen, I got good relationship with your family. He said, and look like they got over on you. Your granddaddy told me that you spent all your money on this fake ring. But your family got good credit with me. Are y'all going to pray with me? He said, what I'm going to do is just write this thing up. I'm going to make you out a ticket. Hallelujah. And all you got to do is just come by and pay a little bit on it every once in a while and pay this thing off. You got the real thing now. I guarantee your friends ain't going to laugh at you no more. Are y'all going to pray with me? I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Hallelujah. That I got a faith that is real when it's put to the test. When the fire comes, I won't be consumed. I have a place in heaven. Hallelujah. Because I have a relationship with Jesus. Are y'all going to pray with me? Things that destroy other folks. Hallelujah. Things that break other folks down. Hallelujah. Because I'm in good standing with Jesus, everything will be all right. I don't have to pay it all up front because I got good credit. Hallelujah. Ain't the Lord all right? The trial of your faith. The trial of your faith, my brothers and sisters. Amen. The only real thing is Jesus. Let me tell you something. I would hope and pray, and I talk about being an A-plus Christian, Every time I grab the microphone, every time I'm around people, I strive to be an A-plus Christian. What does that mean? I strive to be a upstanding man of God, to do everything that the Word tells us to do. I want to be an A-plus Christian. I want to be. Amen. When I'm tested, when I'm tried, I try my best to fight through stuff. But let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. Sometimes I lose. Sometimes I get knocked out and I get knocked down, but I get back up. Amen. Evander Holyfield. Amen. When he fought Riddick Bowe outweighed him by, 30-something pounds. His reach was about 4 inches longer. Amen. During the midst of the battle, Riddick Bowe knocked Evander Holyfield down 4 times. Brian Gumbel did an interview with him, and he said, "Evander, after you were down on the canvas for the 3rd time, he said, what were you thinking? He said, when I got up after that 3rd knockdown, I knew I had him because I had taken everything that he had. He had hit me with his best shot. He had hit me with his best hook. He had hit me with his best uppercut. I knew I had him." My brothers and sisters, the trial of your faith, he might have knocked you down, but he didn't knock you out. Get back up and get ready to fight again. We're going to be tried and we're going to be tested. Amen. It's a part of the process to go through the fire. I thank God that God trusts me enough to allow me to go through the trials and tests. So if you're in the middle of a trial and test right now, you know what? Number one is because Satan is afraid of what you got in you. He don't want you to help anybody else. He don't want you to bring anybody else to church. He don't want you to bring anybody else to Christ. But you know what? If you're going through a test, it may be because God said, "Have you considered my servant McGuire? Have you considered my servant Smith? Have you considered my servant Williams?" Because he knows he can trust us. Though he slay us, yet will we trust him. I thank God for the trials and the tests. Fight on, soldiers. Fight on. No matter what he throws at you, you continue to fight on. Don't allow any devil in hell, amen, to receive any type of victory. Hang on in there. Because when he knock you down, get back up and get ready to fight again. Amen. And when people come into the house of God, I don't care what they look like. I don't care who comes in this church. I don't care where they come from. You show them some love. You hear me? Because you never know.